Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. If you've been hanging around already this morning, I appreciate that very much. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Bert Folsom is our guest. Burton W. Folsom is just one of the most outstanding members of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books, including Empire Builders, How Michigan Entrepreneurs Helped Make America Great. He's also the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons, A New Look at the Rise of Big Business in America. That's in its third edition, maybe fourth by now, for all I know.
Yep, fourth edition this year, Jim.
How many? Fourth?
Fourth edition is going to be out this year.
Congratulations, folks.
Thank you.
That tells you what kind of book it is. And he's got a new book coming out I know about that we'll talk about a little bit. But he's also the historian in residence at the Center for the American Idea. They're the folks who write him a paycheck. And for us, though, just because he loves us so much, he's the historian in residence of the Small Business Advocate Show. Bert Folsom, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure. It's always fun. As you know, I'm a serious and somewhat dangerous amateur historian.
Oh, you're the best kind, Jim, because you think of grand schemes, and those excite people.
Well, I love thinking about this and about history, and I like studying history, and because I do believe that history is the taproot of the tree that we're growing into the future.
Right.
And I believe that very much, and so it's important that we keep up with these things. And here's the proposal that I've got, folks. I was telling you earlier in the show that I was going to be talking to Bert about this, but I didn't tell you much about what I was going to talk about. Here's the proposal that I'm making to Bert earlier last week, and I'm making to you right now. I believe if you look back on all the world leaders let's just say the last 100 years, you can go back farther. You can go back hundreds of years if you want, but certainly for the last 100 years, if you look at the world leaders who have been able to have a global impact, I'm proposing that George W. Bush is in the most unique position, not only of those world leaders, but of any human being in the history of mankind. Bert, that's my proposal.
Boy, the drums are rolling, Jim.
Yeah. And now, folks, let me say this. Even though I am a fan of President Bush, my comment is not meant to elevate him. It's not meant to put him on a pedestal, strictly by the fact that he is in the office that he is in at this moment in time. That's my point, Bert.
Yes.
Now, here's why I say that. Bert, as you know, when Reagan was president, he contributed to bringing down the Soviet Union, but he had...
Yes, he did.
But he was one of the last... He was one of the last presidents of many to be a leader of one of the three world powers, right?
Right.
But now China basically is not really considered to be that much of a threat. We don't think of them as any more of a Cold War enemy, and the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. So really, that leaves. It's generally accepted that America is, the United States is, the only superpower on the planet.
Right. That is correct.
So if you think about it like that, and you realize that one of the things that made me get to this point, Bert, was when I heard people complaining about George Bush's rhetoric. They didn't like the way he was rattling sabers. They didn't like the way he sounded like he wanted to go to war and all that. And you know what? Here was my thought. I said, wait a minute. Who else is going to do this? Who else is going to stand up to bullies like Saddam Hussein and Kim Jong Il and others like that? There is nobody else to do this.
Well, that's right. In other words, you're sort of saying that Bush has to play the role of the super cop.
It's a role. That's exactly right. It's a role that he has. Let me put it this way: he doesn't have to play it. He could choose not to play it, but it is a role that he has chosen to play.
Well, one example would be the 1920s and Calvin Coolidge and Herbert Hoover. We were the only superpower back then, too.
Right.
And we chose not to play any role with the rise of Germany and the rise of the Soviet Union. And all of a sudden, we had new superpowers on the block.
Yep.
They were hostile to the United States. They were hostile to Europe, and we had World War II.
Mm-hmm. So what if that's an excellent point, Bert? So what if what could they have done if they had thought more along the lines of George Bush? What could have happened?
Well, Germany could have been stopped from expanding into the Ruhr Valley. The Soviet Union could have been stopped in their expansionist plans as well. And, by the way, we gave loads of technology to the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
and we gave it on credit.
We did it all the way through the end of the war.
We did it exactly, all the way during the 30s and through World War II.
Right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Bert Folsom. He's going to help us develop this idea as we move through the visit. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Beverly Williams will be joining us to talk to us about home-based business issues. Bob Demmerschneider has his trends report out, his annual trends report out, and I'm going to get him to join us to talk about that. Joan Pride will be up after Bob with a Kiplinger report. And a lot more good things all the rest of the week. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. Bert Folsom is our guest, Burton W. Folsom, the author of Empire Builders and also The Myth of the Robber Barons. He's the historian in residence at the Center for the American Idea. Bert, give us your website, please.
Yes, Jim. It's www.americanidea.org.
AmericanIdea.org, and tell us what we'll find when we get there.
What you'll find is information on our teacher seminars, plus we put some articles on there as well. But we hold seminars for teachers. We have, and there's usually on economic topics, sometimes historical topics, because often the colleges don't do a good idea training teachers in economics, and we try to offset that deficit by inspiring them with a little economic information.
Well, you're also trying to reverse some of the revisionist history that's out there.
Exactly.
Trying to fight some of that out there, and I take my hat off to you for that. Okay, let's get back into our discussion about this idea. You brought up a very important corollary with the administrations right after, immediately after World War One. America was the only superpower. The Soviet Union was a fledgling.
Yes. They were.
And the empire, the English Empire was over, and so basically we were the only country capable of any global strength.
Yes, that's right. And in that particular case, it did not work out well.
Because we were basically feckless about our power.
Well, it was. The whole thing is awkward because Great Britain had that role a little bit in the 1800s as well, and they were a little more active. In other words, when Russia came into Afghanistan in the 1880s, they stopped them and pushed them out.
But their system, see the difference though, Bert, to me, their system was colonialization and ours is not.
Yes. Although they were gradually letting loose of that. The first steps in that process were underway in the 1800s.
Right.
They didn't add to the empire very much in the 1800s. Canada broke off. And, of course, in the 1900s, the empire would dismember.
Mm-hmm.
But they were sort of the super cop of the globe. And they had a light touch often about them. The danger here is that the heavy touch, the interventionist touch, often backfires. And so the whole thing is complicated because you need a cop of some sorts, but the heavy touch will create problems as well. So
well, the reason that I believe that George Bush is in such a unique position, and again, this is not an issue of whether I agree or disagree with his methods, although I
right.
do. He's in a unique position because if you take a guy like Saddam Hussein, if we had a weak and feckless president,
yes.
who had no backbone in the office right now, do you think Saddam Hussein would behave himself, or do you think he would be flexing his muscles and trying to reinvade Iraq? I mean, Kuwait and maybe Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely, and of course the implications of that for oil are enormous.
Exactly. So what do we do? I mean, so that wouldn't be a good idea, right? So what's wrong with what George Bush is doing right now?
Well, there may be nothing wrong. The thing is complicated because the libertarians will assume if countries are left free, that that freedom will work itself out, so that we shouldn't be wasting extensive money and growing a big government and foreign policy. And others assume that that will not happen, that Iraq would invade Kuwait, oil prices would be jacked sky high, North Korea would give nuclear equipment to them, and right, there would be international turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
intolerable. Terrorists would have access to,
yes,
to nuclear bombs.
Yes. There are two assumptions of how it would play itself out, and it's interesting to watch both of those assumptions in action. But we can say this: in the 1920s, when we did not do anything about the Russians, in fact, we helped them in the 1930s, and Germany was allowed to move and eventually take Austria and Czechoslovakia and Poland and so on, that there was no stopping the aggression that went on, and we had, all of a sudden, we had more than one superpower, and we had some very evil superpowers on the block, and World War II resulted.
One of the things that I think all of us should do, Bert, is recognize that George Bush is in the most unique position any human being could be in, at least right now, and understand the hard decisions that he's got to make. I mean,
yes,
can you imagine the enormity of the issues that are on his shoulders? And folks, I'm not trying to build him up here. I'm talking about whoever is in the White House right now. Imagine the enormity of the decisions that they would have. The economy's not doing well here in America. We got problems abroad economically. We've got the axis of evil, which he created, I guess you could say. He created that scenario. But the thing is somebody's got to deal with Iran. Somebody's got to deal with Iraq. We've got to deal with terrorists. We've got to deal with North Korea. We need to continue to develop our relationship with Russia, try to improve our relationships with China. I mean, think about that, and then, of course, throw in the Democrats on top, whoever the loyal opposition is, whoever it would be. I mean, it's almost a job beyond which any human should have to deal with, isn't it?
Well, it is. One of the problems for the United States is that each succeeding president after Bush has to also do a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the one before Bush didn't do that well, and so. But, of course, Clinton's situation was a little different from Bush's.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, each president after Bush will have to do as well as Bush.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Bert Folsom if history is on the side of the steps that George Bush is taking right now. He's the man who would know. He's our resident historian. He's the resident historian at the Center for the American Idea. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. Bert Folsom is our guest, and we're talking about a topic that's is fascinating to me. By virtue of his office, of his presidency, of the only real superpower on the face of the planet, George Bush finds himself in a role that any president would find himself, who would be president right now, would be in this role. The question is, how would they decide to play that role? George Bush has decided that, you know what, these people are a threat to the future of humanity, and it may be painful, it may be expensive, and I'm going to take a lot of heat over this, but I'm not going to let these people continue. I'm going to try to bring liberty to the world. That's one of the things Americans do is, you know, a lot of people may not like what we do, but one of the things that happens when we show up somewhere, we try to bring liberty and freedom and the ability for people to be self-determined to that place. We don't try to invade it and colonize it or acquire it for ourselves. All we want to export is liberty and freedom and the ability for people to be self-determined. George Bush has found himself in this role. That's the way he's chosen to play it. And what I want to ask Bert Folsom is history on his side?
I'll tell you what, Jim. In a way, it's too early to tell, but I'll say this. In light of what happened in the 1920s, and in light of Britain's success in the 1800s in sort of playing the role of cop, there's precedent for this situation existing. And if he does nothing in that role. That is, if he allows, if he refuses to intervene, it's likely that in a decade or more we will have insurmountable problems.
Mm-hmm. You know, you and I have talked before that there were a lot of lies that were spread about why Germany lost World War One, and that allowed Hitler to gain power over Germany and basically start World War II.
Well, that's right. Of course, people were so shocked. Here's the difference between the situation. The United States became a superpower the only superpower in the 1920s because everybody was shell-shocked from war. This is a very different situation because we emerged not after a war.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's the same with Britain in the 1800s, emerged after Napoleon failed, mm-hmm. and the Congress of Vienna mm-hmm. set up a good situation that allowed Britain to be an effective superpower.
Right.
It was not a vindictive treaty against France, so they were not interested in revenge, and we had a century of reasonable peace over there in Europe. The Roman Empire, the same way, they dominated Europe, but it was military conquests. This is the first time it's ever happened where there wasn't a military conquest in back of it.
I believe George Bush to be an honest man, if nothing else. He says he doesn't want
to go
to war.
Yeah, I think he is, too.
He doesn't want, and apparently that's one of his almost to a fault issues. And he says he doesn't want to go to war with Iraq. I believe him. He says that we will go to war with Iraq if Iraq doesn't straighten up. I believe him. Now, if that kind of a persona can be delivered to the bad guys, what's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything. Human nature has fallen. Countries are going to be aggressive against other countries, and they're going to try to secure nuclear weapons or advantages with oil and these sorts of things illegitimately. And for Bush to use our power in an implicit way like that, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, and if somehow some kind of a democracy, some kind of liberties can be established in Afghanistan, can be established in Iraq, In a sector of the world where there aren't a lot of liberties. I mean, look at Saudi Arabia. There's not a lot of liberty in Saudi Arabia.
No, there isn't. You're a little more optimistic than I am on that, Jim, but who knows? It's worth a try.
Well, what's the alternative, Bert? I mean, well, no, seriously, let's tell us what the alternative would be.
Well, what we've had, 20 centuries of war in the last 20 centuries.
Well, or if George Bush does nothing. I mean, what if he said, you know what, I'm going to turn my attention 100% inside our borders. I'm going to let those other people fight it out. Well, I don't think we want to see what that looks like.
Well, that's right. Although we have to pick and choose our battles carefully. That's all I can say. We have to pick and choose our battles carefully. And the danger is that someone will get in that office who will be so politically minded that he will use this for political advantage here in the United States.
Imagine that. Now, no one would do that, Bert. How could you possibly accuse some politician of doing something? Bert Folsom, thank you very much for helping me develop the idea that George Bush is in the most unique position, any human being in the history of mankind, whether you like what he does or not. I think you have to agree with that. Bert, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim. It was fun.
Good job. What's the new book, by the way? Tell us the title of the new book.
I think it's going to be Why the New Deal Failed.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Bert.
Thank you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.